afternoon, and welcome to The Rundown from WUFT News, exploring our community from top to bottom. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. Gainesville voters have an important decision to make next week. Keep control of its utilities in the hands of the state-appointed Gainesville Regional Utilities Authority Board, or bring back oversight to the city. It could reverse legislation signed by the governor 2 years ago, which gave control to the state. Supporters of that move point to the fact that GRU was almost $2 billion in debt as a city entity. So how did we get there? This can be traced back to May of 2009. That's when city commissioners decided to build a biomass plant, the Gainesville Renewable Energy Center. The plan was to transition the city toward renewable energy, but costs quickly began to add up with few results. After debating the move for nearly a year, commissioners ended up buying out the contract with the biomass plant operator in 2017 for over $750 million. It was the single largest asset purchase in the city's history. With interest, the buyout would cost $1.2 billion over 30 years. Those numbers, along with the utility's increased annual debt payments, led to higher customer bills. Which brings us back to Tuesday night, when Mayor Harvey Ward met with GRU CEO Ed Belarski at the D.R. Williams Fellowship Hall to debate. Dozens of people attended, and they were there for various reasons. That included Andy Hadsock, who thinks the city already fumbled control of the utility.
The city commission has had reign and rule on this for the last, 100 years. And up until now, they've pretty much done a bad job. Somebody had to take control away from them. It's like having a child removed from a home for doing a bad job, being a bad parent.
Meanwhile, Barbara Lindsay thinks Belarski isn't qualified.
I'm not happy that the governor decided to take over our utility from the city. And I think that was uncalled for. Mr. Belarski used to be the general manager of the utility some years ago, and he was fired.
He was fired in 2022. To start the debate, Ward and Belarski got 5 minutes each for opening statements. Then they moved into questions from the crowd. Rebuttals were not permitted. Belarski said under his leadership, customer costs are down, versus in March 2023, before he rejoined the utility, Gainesville had the highest electricity rates in the state.
We're number 14 in the state. We haven't been that low on the totem pole. Think about it. We're within $4 or $5 from having the average electric price be at the middle of the state. And by the way, it's cheaper than Clay Electric. Cheaper than Clay.
Clay Electric is a not-for-profit co-op, and rate sheets published by both utilities show Clay was actually slightly cheaper per kilowatt hour for residential customers. Ward said while GRU is working on bringing down its debt and electricity rates, it's failing to maintain its other forms of infrastructure, which could cause higher expenses down the line.
When you're not investing in water and wastewater and keeping up the capital that you own, you run risks with that. Now, the person who taught me that was Ed Belarski. Yes, you can pay debt down faster if you don't pay capital expenditures. If we don't take good care of the facilities, you're going to have more expenses later.
Ward also said those appointed locally will run GRU the way voters want it to.
I believe that people that you select that are known to you locally are going to serve you better than people who are appointed by somebody 150 miles away. And I think that people who sue you to keep you from voting probably in the long term are on the wrong side of history.
But Belarski said the members of the GRU authority have locals' interests at heart.
I don't know the governor, never talked to the governor. There's very little state involvement. The only thing that I've gotten involved in is whoever they've appointed to the board. They're all local in the community, and that's who I deal with. So there's very little that I have to deal with the state.
After the closing statements, people had mixed feelings. Joe Beatty was one of them.
I don't think there's any winning. I think we all lost because there wasn't debate. The fact that questions were asked and they couldn't both answer them, and you couldn't rebut things that were said.
Angela Castile questioned Ward after the debate. She pointed to the fact that in 2021, the city of Gainesville wanted to raise rates by 3% to 5% each year through 2027.
I asked him about that because he mentioned the water rate. They raised the rate 1.5% this year. They were going to raise it each year. 3% to 5% by 2027. So he wanted to make Ed look like a jerk, and when in fact he didn't tell the whole truth.
But some, like Barbara Lindsay, are fed up with the state stepping in.
The state continues to fight against us, and they talk about home rule, but they don't want to give home rule. And so it's kind of, you know, it's kind of hypocritical, I think.
The election on the GRU referendum will be this Tuesday, November 4th. Gainesville's ballot referendum vote can go ahead as planned because of a judge's ruling yesterday. According to Main Street Daily News, the judge ruled against issuing the temporary injunction requested by the Gainesville Regional Utility Authority. This means if voters pass the referendum on November 4th, the city can enforce the results. If you're just joining us, this is The Rundown from WUFT News. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. Do you have thoughts or opinions on the GRU referendum vote? We want to hear from you. Email us at therundown@wuft.org or tap the menu button of the WUFT mobile app and tap Talk to Us. We may feature your voice on the show. But first, Florida has a lot of stories to tell. Do you know your community's history? It's time for a trivia question. Our trivia question this week is, which classic horror movie was partially filmed at Silver Springs? Is it A, Night of the Living Dead, B, Creature from the Black Lagoon, C, Jaws, or D, Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Stay tuned to the end of the show for the answer. This is The Rundown. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. Coming up on the show, we hear from a Gainesville drag queen to learn more about the art of drag. That's after a short break. Welcome back to The Rundown. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. October is LGBTQ History Month. Unlike June's LGBTQ Pride Month, which focuses on visibility and activism, October is dedicated to education and the history of gay rights in the United States. In honor of this month, WUFT's Sarah James Ranta sat down with Gainesville native and drag queen Kelly Kelly, who performs twice a week at the city's only LGBTQ bar, the University Club. Let's take a listen.
Doing my makeup is like my safe space before I hit the stage. It's what makes me feel beautiful. It's the process of getting beautiful. So I respect it and relax in it. Hi, so my name is Kelly Kelly, and I work at the University Club full-time. I've been the entertainment director since 2017, and I've been working here since 2013. My earliest memory of performing was when I was performing in my school's production of Rent. It was one of my first introductions to myself doing drag, and I felt comfortable doing it because it was under the guise of, oh, this is a musical. I had already had my experience with drag, like in high school doing the musical. So when I came out onto the gay scene and like I actually started dating a drag queen, we ended up calling it off. They abandoned their drag at my home, and it was like that devil in the closet. I was like, do I go up there? Do I put on that wig? Is that cat suit there for me? And you know, one day the itch got it really needed to be scratched.
Your first day is today, you know her. You've been there before, you definitely know her. She's here each and every Thursday and Friday night. She is an episode talented and incomparable. She is Miss Kelly T.
I am born and raised Gainesville, Florida. I've always noticed that there was a strong LGBTQ scene in Gainesville, even from high school. Growing up in Florida is a different story because I've always been very conscious and grateful of the fact that we are very sheltered here in Gainesville from a lot of the ways of thinking that are shared across the state of Florida. When I do go to other places, it is like we're looking over our shoulder, or we're like, what are people thinking of us? Is this a safe place to be in? Do I have to be worried while I'm walking to my car at night? I think Florida as a whole has a lot of work to do, though. I think that Kelly Kelly is an extension of who I am. She's just bolder, louder, prettier, and she oftentimes smells better. And you know, to be honest, I don't get the choice whether or not to carry Kelly Kelly into my personal life or not. In my spare room, there are approximately 10,000 pounds of glitter ingrained into my floor that remind me daily that Kelly is stuck with me. It's just such impactful work, and at the core of drag entertainment is advocacy, and I think using your voice to speak for others is one of the most powerful things you can do. So that's why I choose this career, because I'm not just entertaining for me. I'm not just speaking for me. I'm not just representing me. I'm representing a league of people who are not seen, who are not heard, and want to be felt.
This is the spot to come and be who you are. So God damn it, I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep showing up and dressing up until they burn it down or kick me out. I put my wig on very last, dead last. When you see me flip down like this and they wig come over, that means it's time to stop the show.
As I told you guys, I'm Kelly Kelly. This is the University Club. Make some noise for the UC.
That was WUFT's Sarah James Ranta, who produced this piece, speaking with drag queen Kelly Kelly. This weekend is also Gainesville's Pride Festival celebration. The event is Saturday, November 1st from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. in Beau Diddley Plaza, hosted by the Pride Community Center of North Central Florida. There's a cool thing that happens each evening at the University of Florida. At first, you'll notice a small crowd gathers at Lake Alice. They stare towards the woods. For some, it's their first time. Kids seem excited for some reason. And then, when the sun finally sets, that's when the bats start to fly. On top of their unique look, you can also hear their distinctive chirping. Experts estimate between 450 to 500,000 bats living between the two houses. Today, WUFT's Shania Williams has this audio postcard of the bat houses.
My name is Josie Stevens. I'm here to see the bats. I love animals, and I've always heard about it, and I haven't been yet. I've heard the rumors, and I have heard it's a lot, so I'm hoping it meets my expectations. I think it will.
My name is Robin Carter. We live here in Gainesville, and we are here to see the bats. We're hoping that there is going to be enough of them to make a good show.
My name is Natasha Cruzado. I just came here to see the bats because I've been trying to, all last year, we tried to go and we kept being like, we're going to go, and we never went. But, like, I really want to see. They're so cute. I guess to see them swarm. They were saying that they go in the trees, and I think that's pretty cool because you get to see them kind of close up. So yeah. That's pretty fun.
My name's Barb Shepherd. So we live in DeLand, Florida, where we have two bat houses that have hundreds of bats, but we've never seen bats at this number, and we're anxious to see them for the first time.
My name is Jeff Shepherd. Yeah, this is my first time. This is something we've been thinking about for a while to come and see them, because, you know, it's publicized. It's pretty well known, right? The UF bat houses are known probably nationally, right? And we live 2 hours away, so finally we made it.
My name is Kathy Pickett.
My name is Evan Pickett, and I'm 12 years old.
Holy, look at all them.
Wow. A whole bunch of bats flying out of these little houses.
You can definitely smell them.
I don't know. I didn't expect this many bats. Wait, I thought she was just like school, right? Lying, yeah.
Oh my god.
It looks like mosquitoes.
How many do you think that are?
Watch out, bats.
Hundreds, right?
Yeah.
That was a moment at the University of Florida Bat Houses, where there are an estimated 450 to 500,000 bats in two colony roosts right near Lake Alice. WUFT's Shania Williams produced that audio postcard from Gainesville. She had help from producer Emiliano Luna. If you're just joining us, this is The Rundown from WUFT News. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. As a reminder, our trivia question this week, which classic horror movie was partially filmed at Silver Springs? Is it A, Night of the Living Dead, B, Creature from the Black Lagoon, C, Jaws, Or D, Invasion of the Body Snatchers? The answer's coming up at the end of the show. Before that, though, we'll get into the Halloween spirit with some stories of tricks and treats. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Robin Young. Malala Yousafzai has a new memoir, mostly about moving on after being shot by the Taliban, but also how the attack she'd forgotten came roaring back in a flashback.
I froze. I could not move. I was back in that traumatic experience. I was seeing the gunmen and the guns around me. I thought I would die.
Next time, here and now.
Thursday at 2 on WUFT 89.1 90.1.
Next time on The World, National Geographic explorer Paul Salopek takes us to a region known historically as the Levant. It sits in Turkey at the crossroads between Europe and Asia. It's a place charged with history and conflict.
And basically, a contested ground between three jealous gods and a lot of strongmen that goes back millennia, not just centuries.
That story and more global news next time on The World.
Monday through Thursday at 3 on WUFT 89.1 90.1.
The Alachua County Energy Efficiency Program is administered by the Community Weatherization Coalition. The no-cost program offers upgrades for affordable rentals in Alachua County. The free upgrades available for units include weatherproofing, new major appliances such as HVAC systems and kitchen equipment, window replacement, and more. Information on whether your property qualifies for the free upgrades is available at 352-450-4965 or via email at aceep@rebuildingtogethernCF.org.
Welcome back to The Rundown. I'm Kristen Shermont Spina. The sound of laughter, the rustle of candy wrappers, and maybe a distant roar? The 29th annual Boo at the Zoo at Santa Fe College will take place tomorrow on Halloween. WUFT's Jasmine Oliphant spoke with Christina Arnold, a zoo supervisor, about the afternoon event. The cost of entry is actually pretty surprising. Jasmine began by asking her what it's all about.
So Boo at the Zoo is our annual Halloween event. It's on Halloween Day every year. So this year, it's Friday, October 31st from 3 to 7 p.m. The really cool thing about Boo at the Zoo is it is a free event. Admission is one canned food item per person, and all of those food items are donated to local food banks, including Catholic Charities in Gainesville and Saints Food Share at Santa Fe College.
When did you guys start like doing that, like having like people will come and just give one can, or was it always like that?
Yeah, so it's always been like that. So this is the 29th year of the event. So it's always been built as a canned food drive supporting Santa Fe College's food bank, which is Saints Food Share, and then Catholic Charities, which is a Gainesville community food organization.
I remember you mentioned about, what was it? You said a pre-exhibit before they come in. What is the exhibit?
We'll have exhibitors behind the Santa Fe gym prior to them entering the zoo with some games, activities, candies, candy given away. Athletics will be running some games down there. And then they can join the line to enter the trick-or-treat trail in the zoo. And students in the zoo animal technology program completely transform the zoo into a multi-themed trick-or-treating experience. So we will have a Dr. Seuss, Avatar, The Last Airbender, Candyland, Super Mario, ocean life theme, and a fantasy forest theme. So guests will be transported through all of those different themes as they're walking along through the trick-or-treat trail in the zoo.
You think this event has become like a Gainesville Halloween tradition? Almost.
Absolutely. Yes. It's definitely a Gainesville community event. And so many people, we consistently hear so many people speak to us about how they used to bring their kids to Boo at the Zoo 20 years ago, and now they're attending with grandkids. And, you know, it really is a generational experience.
That was Christina Arnold, a supervisor at the Santa Fe College Zoo, talking about their 29th annual Boo at the Zoo Halloween event. The story was produced by WUFT's Jasmine Oliphant. One small note of caution, we've heard anecdotally that the wait times to get in can be a little long, and with the cold weather tomorrow, you may want to dress appropriately. Well, Halloween is just around the corner, and with it comes a beloved tradition, trick-or-treating. To help us get into the spirit of the season, we asked WUFT's Chloe Tolton to head out across the University of Florida campus and ask this question. What is your most memorable trick-or-treating experience?
My name is Gianna Theodoropoulos. My most memorable trick-or-treating experience was when I was, I think, like 8 or 9, and there was this one house that there was, like, no one outside with the candy, and they just put the bowl by, like, this bush, like, decorated in cobwebs and stuff. And so I went up to go get candy, and they had, like, an air compressed machine in it, and, like, it blew air at my hand. Absolutely terrifying, but I will never forget it.
My name is Nick Squilio. This is kind of a sad trick-or-treating experience, but I'm from New Jersey, and one year there was a big snowstorm, and they canceled Halloween completely for us. So when all of us had costumes to go out, it was kind of just a ghost town. I think my parents bought me some candy because I was pretty upset that there was no trick-or-treating.
My name is Sonia Shaw. When I was younger, I went to my local library, and they had like a whole little trick-or-treating like parade kind of thing where there were stations set up, and me and my sister went. I was dressed as like Snow White. She was dressed as Sleeping Beauty, and it was really fun. We had our little like plastic pumpkin buckets. And yeah, I just remember from the pictures, but I think I had a good time.
My name is Eliana Kirby. Going to my rich friend's neighborhood as a child, and then their neighbors would give out like king size candy bars, and that was always fun. And then especially like going like right at the end of the night, and sometimes they would just like give you all of the rest of their candy that they had left over if they were like going to bed.
Those were responses from UF students on their most memorable trick-or-treating experience. It was produced by WUFT's Chloe Tolton. We hope this segment got you in the Halloween spirit. The Rundown is a production of WUFT News out of the University of Florida College of Journalism and Communications. Special thanks this week to producers Ailey Shanes, Sophia Dinka, and Emiliano Luna. Our trivia question this week was, which classic horror movie was partially filmed at Silver Springs? A, Night of the Living Dead, B, Creature from the Black Lagoon, C, Jaws, or D, Invasion of the Body Snatchers? The answer? B, Creature from the Black Lagoon. That's it for the Rundown. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. The news is next.